Creating your own reality. Is it possible for me? I am Jennifer K. Hill, the Consciousness Architect, and I am here to tell you that it's not only possible, it's closer than you might think. Welcome to the show. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Regarding Consciousness. I am Jennifer K. Hill, and I am so grateful to always bring you the greatest thought leaders, wisdom keepers, authors, entrepreneurs, and scientists from around the world with leading information on consciousness and how we can harness our own consciousness to help ourselves live the lives of our dreams. And today is no exception. We have a wonderful guest who I recently got to know, and as soon as I heard a little bit about her wisdom and journey, I knew she would be perfect for the show. Today we have joining us Christina Wise. In addition to being an incredible entrepreneur who is a real estate mogul, millionaire coach, and creator of several multi-million dollar businesses, including Good Life Luxury and her most recent one, Wealthy Wealthy, she also has her own podcast by the same name, Wealthy Wealthy, and shares from her own journey about the life lessons that she learned in developing and maintaining wealth, which I thought would be a great conversation for us to have on this show and discuss how that ties in. What is the consciousness of wealth? Thank you so much for being here with us, Christina.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about your journey. I remember being smitten when you and I talked a couple of weeks back and you shared a little bit about this harrowing journey that you went through from health things and family experiences to now living the life of your dream and helping others to do the same. Can you share with us a little bit about how this came to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think with all of our stories, that you know, there's been long journeys and many ups and downs to get where we are. And I always like to start by saying that I never thought I would be here teaching money, wealth consciousness, wealth creation in business the way I teach it and through the lens of money and finance. But where it started, where I am today, where it started was I was speaking on a stage. It was about 3,000 people in the room, and it was the real estate industry. So my previous life was real estate, and I had created a lot of fame. I was well known nationally. I spoke on the biggest stages. And so on this stage, there's about 3,000 leaders in real estate, and it was such an honor to be on the stage. I was the keynote speaker. I was the opening keynote. It was the top leaders and technology leaders and names that you could Google and they'd show up right there. So it was such an honor to be able to speak to this group. And I'd practiced, I'd rehearsed, I'd written the content, you know, the keynote that I was the message I wanted to get across. And so I was on stage and I mean, I nailed it. Like it was this Broadway performance. Like I hit every mark and I was feeling so great. But about 80% of the way through that speech, I heard this little click in my brain and almost like this screeching sound. It was really, and it took me off for a second. And I don't know if it was a second or 5 seconds, but there was this pause. And then I caught myself. And then I went back. I finished the speech, standing ovation. I mean, I just felt so proud, big smile. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm walking out the room and people like, Christina, can I get your this and book you for that? And da 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 da. And I mean, I'm walking out of this room and in my head, I had this thought, oh my God, girlfriend, you've made it. You can name your price. You've made it. You started in a trailer home and look at, you are here on this stage with a standing ovation. You can write your ticket. And it's just this really proud moment. And a little bit later, I went back to my hotel room and I was feeling way off. I mean, I was dizzy. I just was having these weird feelings and I didn't know what was wrong, but I could tell that something was really off. I'd never had these feelings or sensations. And I was supposed to actually stay to do a panel and some other things, but I ended up flying home because I felt so terrible. And I got home and within 48 hours, here I was again, my career highlight. Within 48 hours, I couldn't talk, I couldn't think, I couldn't eat. And I just, that was it. And I ended up, come to find out, so many things had gone wrong, but I'd had a stress stroke on stage. And so I had a stress stroke and that just became, that was the straw that broke the camel's back and my body just started breaking down. And so the stress stroke, and then I'd come to find out I had serious heavy metal poisoning and stage four adrenal fatigue. And I could go on and on and on. And I didn't find those things out for months later. But basically, even what happened when that stress stroke and that happened in my brain, it locked me in this fight or flight system, and my body couldn't even fall asleep. Like, I literally could not fall asleep because my body would wake me up because it was afraid it was going to die if it fell asleep. So it would try to wake me up. I mean, it was horrific. So all of that story, that it just became, you know, that hero's journey. And it was so dark, Jennifer. I mean, I was famous in my vertical, and I'd worked so hard to get there. And then it just, everything came crumbling down so fast. And I was losing my identity. I started thinking, like, who am I if I'm not on stages and famous and all these things? And so I just realized that I didn't even feel worthy because my worthiness was attached to my level of success and achievement. And then my money started breaking down because I thought I'd built this really great business. It was a 7-figure business. I had a lot of employees. I had business partners. I mean, all these things. But once I was gone, the business started falling apart and business partners started trying to steal the company. I mean, I could just go on and on and on of how horrible every part of my life was falling apart, as well as my physical, like my body was dying. All my hair started falling out. And so along this journey, though, there were so many different moments, but like the first half of it, I was fighting for my old self. I mean, I was trying to think, like, I'm nobody if I don't do those things. I just need to go get well so I can go do those things I was doing again. And I mean, I was holding on, like gripping on to that old identity and that old self. And the more that I held on, the more things started to fall apart. And my money was just disappearing. So I mean, it cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to figure out what was wrong. And through all of that, there was this moment where I decided that just to let go, that I'm just going to let go. I'll probably never be on a stage again. I'll probably never be able to work like I used to work. Right now, I'm just going to focus on this healing journey and let it be what it is. And whatever happens, happens. And it was so remarkable. But that second, and I mean, this was 6, 8, 9 months of my trying to hold on, anxiety. I'd never had a panic attack or anxiety. And I mean, I just had to wear a heart rate monitor to manage my anxiety. I'd never been on a medication. I was like on 4 antidepressant and anti-anxiety medications. You can't make this stuff up. And so, and again, like all of that, just trying to get back that old self. So finally, when I let go, it's like this total peace came over me. And just everything changed with that one deciding moment of like, it's going to be what it's going to be. And then all this like spiritual lessons started coming to me where I was like learning what self-worth was and learning that I didn't have to be kind of rich and famous to amount to something. And it just, these layers kept coming and coming and coming. And out of all of that, I realized that I was living a life. I'd built a business that I hated, and I was living a life that wasn't me. It was all based on these external accolades. And so I kind of just rewrote my life, so to speak. And when I looked through that lens, I asked the question of, if I could do anything, what would I do? Mm-hmm. And I then understood also that money is important, but my whole life was about money because I'd started in that trailer home. And I didn't have anything, and I was made fun of, and I was never included, and all the things of being kind of poor and broke. So my whole life became chasing the opposite of that. And I achieved it. But in achieving that, I realized that my life hadn't really changed. I just built this life around me that wasn't me. So out of that came the, just like I said, so many life lessons that got to this place of, you know, money is really important. In my case, actually, money saved my life. The fact that I was good with money, and I'd built wealth and had assets and could sell those assets, and I had enough money to keep going that when my business was falling apart, I could still pay my bills. So I'd been wise with my money, but I was building the money for that external reward, that external validation for what other people thought. So I can kind of prove to everybody in my past that I was somebody important. So, but coming out of that, I realized like, oh my gosh, money is really important. It saved my life. Like it literally saved my life. But it's not about the money. It's not about the chase. It's not about the fame. Money is a consciousness that when we understand and just develop this really healthy relationship and consciousness with money, it can be part of who we are. And now money's a good thing that we generate from the inside out. And now we can create money and we can use money to make the world a better place. But it's a different consciousness. There's the chase consciousness when we're chasing the money to chase the lifestyle, to chase what other people think, to chase all that. But then there's a different consciousness, which is about living a good life, about abundance, about prosperity, about making a difference in our lives and the lives of others, around, you know, experiencing things from a holistic level by being able to use money to invest back in ourselves so that we're healthy and full. So anyway, I just realized that there are these two types of money consciousnesses, especially in this entrepreneurial world. And I was inspired to want to share like, hey, there's a contrast between the two. And from my own experience, one is much more fulfilling than the other.
Okay. Inquiring minds want to know, Christina, like, A, congrats on getting yourself healthy. I mean, that's the most important thing. I love that's why you call your podcast and your company Wealthy Wealthy, W-E-L-L-T-H-Y, is because there's the money aspect, though then our health is also our greatest wealth. So let's backtrack for a moment, because I like to imagine what people are thinking as they're listening to us. And I hear a lot of people saying, that's fine and dandy. If you have money, you don't have to chase it. You know, you don't have to put food on the table for the kids and you don't have to break your back to do it. But if you don't have money, you have to chase it. Otherwise, you will literally not survive. So what would you say to the people who are thinking that right now?
Yeah, I think it's the difference between chasing it, like money's out there, and I'll be happy when I have enough money, or I'll do XYZ when I have enough money. So it's that difference between a better life is out there somewhere, as opposed to changing our relationship with money. So it's all about this relationship. There's these two pieces of money. There's a very practical, pragmatic sense of the dollars and cents in the bank. And then there's some more esoteric and more money mindset in the relationship. But everything starts with the relationship, and we all have a money consciousness. And what I mean by that is that when it comes to money, our unconscious relationship with money is running the show. So that's what is not talked about and understood, is that we all are programmed when it comes to money. And that programming usually started, you know, was kind of planted in when we're 7 years old. So most of us are playing out our seven-year-old narrative of money based on how we are raised, what our programming was, what our parents said, what we heard, what our environments were. And that gets planted. And that money consciousness, that money unconsciousness or subconsciousness, is what we're acting out. And so that's what I was doing, is that for me, money, in the context of money, I was chasing not money itself necessarily, but I was chasing to be loved. I was chasing to belong. I was chasing to show the world that I was important, because I didn't get that as a kid, and all those things. And so that's that unconscious thing. And so part of the work is that to uncover, like, what are our money narratives and what's our money stories? Because if it's not like from a conscious place, then the unconscious piece of our, that ultimately becomes our relationship with money, is going to run the show. And ultimately, it can manifest in all different ways. In my case, for example, before I really realized a lot of this, I was great at making money. But then that subconscious, unconscious piece of me didn't feel like I deserved it. So then I'd make millions and then I'd lose millions. Then I'd make millions and then I'd lose it again. And then I'd make it and lose it again. So there's just a lot of this deep patterning when it comes to money. So it's to understand that the chase usually, again, is like money's out there. It's not within my reach, or that belongs to other people, or I'm not worthy, or whatever the case is. But when we can do that work and change that relationship, with money, then it becomes a belief that money's a good thing. I am worthy. I can create abundance. What I have right now is good enough while I'm still working to create more. I'm the creator of money. The money's inside of me. And I can create it very easily because I do create it. I don't have to wait for it or go get it out there. So again, there's just so much work that we're not aware of when it comes to money, that lack of awareness is what usually keeps us in these traps and these patterns and these beliefs that we have to chase it versus create it.
I completely understand where you're coming from on this, Christine. It is true that we have these limiting beliefs around money doesn't grow on trees. Rich people are bad. I was just at a mastermind in Cabo the other day, and we were doing this exact sort of work with an entrepreneur who was there facilitating. And so the next question, of course, then is, let's say, okay, Christina, you just helped me have an aha moment right now where I just realized maybe I don't believe that I deserve money. How do you then remedy that? What's the next step? Because it's a heavy, impossible almost to deal with belief that you're like, how do I overcome that when that's my core limiting wound or belief around money? What's next?
Yeah, you say something really important there in wound. And, you know, when we go back to any type of inner child work or wounding work or trauma work, I think, you know, many of us have been in that type of work, you know, have done work ourselves, or, you know, we're listening to this. But the word wound, and again, so many of us were looking at like, hey, I got wounded in my childhood by my parents and XYZ, so I need to go clean up those wounds so that I can be better in relationships and I can, you know, these limiting beliefs won't affect me so much. But what's not talked about are money wounds. That a good portion of our population has had money trauma, and it was traumatic as a child. So what happens is children in a majority of households, since money is not talked about and money is not understood, is that we experience money as children as something that's not safe. Mm-hmm. So you can see very quickly how we develop these relationships. Again, this is the unconscious mind that's running the show. So part of the work, like any type of work, that if money is just kicking our ass over and over and over again, that's a sign that there is wounding and there's limiting beliefs and there's mindsets that are so unconscious and running the show, that's the first part of work. We need to go clean that up. And it's, you know, it is not too difficult. I mean, there's lots of mindset books and coaching, and that's some of what I do, for example. But the first is the awareness. It's realizing that if money keeps kicking my ass, I 99.9% likely have some money trauma and some money wounding and some limiting beliefs around the subject that I need to go look at. So that's the first step. And it's pretty easy to start with. Just write down, like you said, 10 things that come to mind of what your parents implanted in you, or maybe culture implanted in you when you were young age, and just write them down. Because if they've never been addressed, like kind of if they've never surfaced and looked at them, you can start laughing where even if you have kids, you're saying the same thing to your kids. So it's a lineage, like it will keep going forever. So that's the first step, is start writing down these beliefs and narratives about money. And once you kind of bring those to the surface and can look at them, now it's pretty easy to rewrite them. Just ask the question, is that money belief serving me? The belief that money doesn't grow on trees? Mm. No, it probably isn't. And where did that come from? Oh, my mother used to say it all the time. And then rewrite it. And then really even get into the pain points, the wounding side, is to sometimes we have to clear these experiences of, man, I no wonder I remember this moment where, you know, when I asked for something in the grocery store, my mother completely humiliated me and said, like, you know, who's going to pay for that? And money doesn't grow on trees. And, you know, so again, this work is really profound. It might sound a little bit silly, but it's so profound that we can go and just clear all these old mindsets and then rewrite them to something else. And what happens now, that's not going to take us from kind of broke or paycheck to paycheck. And I call it high income broke, and high income broke are a lot of entrepreneurs who make, you know, better than average income, but they're still always paycheck to paycheck. Again, that paycheck to paycheck thing starts with this relationship. Then the second piece after that is once we clear those old beliefs and then clear those patterns, now we have to repattern ourselves. And that's the next step of money. But what doesn't work is that this belief that someday in the future, if I work harder, or if I buy the right program, or if I, you know, do the best podcast or something, that's going to solve all my money problems. We have to understand it's much deeper than that.
You know, it's fascinating. I was just called to share this with our listeners and audience. Have you ever tried Gene Keys? Did I do that for you when we were on the call?
No, we should. I've heard of it. I've not done it.
It's fascinating because it just dawned on me that one of the elements, it's free. Anybody can go there. I'm a big fan of Richard Redd. I was introduced to it several years ago. I need to have him on the show. He came up with this thing based on human design. And human design is an amalgamation of a myriad of things, from I Ching to Kabbalah to astrology to numerology to a variety of different things. And so Richard Redd and Gene Keys interprets it. And one of the things it tells you for free if you go there is, what's your prosperity tied to? So each one of us kind of has a shadow side and a light side of our prosperity. Like, just, I don't know why this dawned on me right now, but I was remembering mine is related to integrity. And so it says basically that when I'm in balance and prosperous, if I'm doing things with integrity, it brings me great prosperity. However, if I'm coming from a place of judgment or blame, then that just cuts my prosperity to the quick. So I'd invite everybody to check it out. If you're like, oh, well, I wonder, because most anybody, I've done this for hundreds of clients and friends and people. It's just interesting to be curious. If you're really pondering, what is my money story? And then maybe see, maybe it'll land for you, maybe it won't. But majority of people I've ever shared it with have found it to be relatively on point. And then you can begin to look at your life. Like, one of the first times in my life where I made like almost $300,000, I was in my 20s, in my, I think it was mid-20s at the time. I was like 25, 26 years old, something like that. Was I was in a class, ironically, in integrity. And that whole class for a year, all I was doing was getting every single aspect of my life on point. And up until that point in my life, it was the most money I'd ever made. And then fast forward, you know, 15, 20 years later, I read this thing from Gene Keys that says, the more integrous you are, the more money you'll make. So it's kind of curious of how that ties into us as well.
Yeah, I would say that that's, again, we've talked about even that Colby, but that's like our intrinsic, like how we're built in this one part of our life, the financial part of our life. That, again, that's just us alone without anybody else, kind of how we're built. So there's that piece, but then there's that piece of how we were raised and the programming that was not ours, it was given to us. And so you can see the complexity of this. It's like, hey, for you, if I'm out of integrity, that's going to affect my prosperity, just that on its own. But then also it's like, oh my gosh, I might have all these money stories that aren't even mine. They were given to me, but I've not looked at those. So now I need to clean up this piece. So, but that's more when we talk about money and wealth consciousness, that I'd call that money consciousness. That's what I call the unconsciousness, the subconsciousness of money. And that's where we need to go first. Then the other side of the coin, which is like the conscious piece, is where, you know, where the work that I do both the unconscious and the conscious. But the work that I do there, it's to bring a level of consciousness to money around this new relationship where we like our money, we understand our money, we spend our time with it, we grow it, we dance with it. You know, these different things, it's really how we manage it and how we invest it and how we create with it. And but as it like it, but consciously and intentionally. But, you know, with knowledge and wisdom around this topic. So when we match and clean up this unconscious and subconscious, kind of those limiting beliefs and traumas and wounds around money, we clean that up. And then we match it with the learning and understanding and knowledge of how this amazing thing works as creators and investors and all these things. When you blend those together and under the belief that money is good, it can be good, then it's just, it's amazing how then we just feel money in our heart and it just pulls us up. And it's not out there anywhere to be chased. It's here within us and we're growing with it as it's growing and we're growing and we use it as entrepreneurs. We use it as philanthropists. We use it to raise our children. We use it to create experiences and friendships. And, you know, just becomes this beautiful thing in our lives that we can even create music out of it. I mean, it's again, this is what's possible with money. But again, when we go back to a good portion, especially in business and entrepreneurship, it's just the chase of more. And somehow more money means more, you know, I can feel better about myself or whatever that other narrative is. But that's not ever fulfilling when you get down to the core of it.
You know what just dawned on me as you shared this, Christina? I love this. So we're here with Christina Wise of Wealthy Wealthy Podcast and Company today. I just had a download of a book called Dating Money. Like, it's almost like how you feel free to write it. I can already see your face on the cover selling millions of copies. What I'm hearing you say, though, is really dating money, treating money as though it is its own entity. How do you interact with it? It's like a parent. You know, if we have an unhealthy relationship with a parent, we're going to carry that with us to the children that we raise, to the spouse that we have, the boyfriend, girlfriend, whomever. And yet, if we were to treat money with the same level of intimacy and delicacy that you would of a romantic relationship, how might that transmute our relationship to money, irrespective of the nature and nurture element? Again, there's the intrinsic, which is the gene key side of what are you naturally predisposed to. There's the extrinsic, your environment, the stories, what you're told, as Bruce Lipton would call it, the epigenetics of it. And then how do we marry those in order to treat this as though it is literally one of the most important relationships in our lives?
I mean, I couldn't have said it better. So exactly. And anything, like, life is relationships. And when we think of relationship, there are different elements of relationship. And you're exactly right that if we have a spouse or a partner, or even if we want to date, like you said, if we want a healthy, happy relationship, we can't neglect our partner.
So true. Oh, you just nailed it with that. Oh my God.
We can't abdicate being a good wife to our husband. You know, we can't neglect our husband. We can't disrespect our husband and have the relationship we want. And so that's, and same, let's say with our body, let's say in the context of health, that the work for people to lose weight, to stay off weight in most cases, it's not the diet first. Yeah, the diet is the practical piece. We can't eat ice cream and be healthy, so that matters. But it's, why are we eating ice cream? Usually it's because there's a level of unworthiness or unlove or something underneath. So when we can clean that up, then it's easier to say the ice cream just doesn't serve me anymore. So, but that's our relationship with our body, the relationship and love of self. And so how we eat and things, like when we love ourselves, we want to eat healthy. We want to exercise. We want to go to the gym when we don't want to go to the gym, right? Because it's out of this love, this relationship with us. And that's why we have to start with that relationship first. Positive, healthy relationship, ripple effect, a lot of healthy choices. Unhealthy, unworthy relationship, probably going to ripple into unhealthy choices. So our money is the same, is that when we have a healthy relationship with money, we do love it. We do want to spend time with it. We do want to use it to create, you know, all these things. But that unhealthy relationship that comes back from all those, you know, extrinsic, I guess, like you said, then that ripples into, we abdicate it. It's like, I don't have a healthy relationship. So I like making it or do these things, but I don't want to talk about it. I'll give it to somebody else. Or we have stories like it's math and it's too complicated. So give it to somebody else. Or we neglect it, we abandon it, like all these things. And that's all the ripple effect of not having a healthy relationship with money. So again, when we go back to that first piece, then maybe we don't know the healthy diet for money, but now we have a desire to want to learn what that is. And that will take us on that next step. But to your point, yeah, it's all about that relationship of love and respect and honor and cherish and attention and intention and all these different pieces that make a great relationship great.
Yeah, it's powerful when we realize that we have a say. We're either participating in a relationship with money, or we're at the effect of it. And the more that we're at the effect of our spouse, of money, of our children, our boss, or whomever, you're giving your power away. When you're, as you said it so beautifully earlier in this, Christina, you said, when you're dancing with it, it really is a dance. When we understand, yes, we may have limiting beliefs, we may have circumstantial things that happened or stories we told ourselves. And the beautiful thing is, we have a choice. We don't have to live the rest of our lives at the effect of anything or anyone, money, person, or otherwise. And the more that we take the reins back of our consciousness, back of our subconsciousness, then we can begin to guide the Clydesdales of our minds to the direction and the places and the people we do want, rather than the circumstances that we don't desire. So I think that's so beautiful what you shared today, Christina. Thank you so much for being here with us and sharing your wisdom. Are there any last closing thoughts before we get into how people can connect with you? Of anything that maybe I didn't get a chance to ask you about money, or anything that you'd like to highlight or share with people before we close?
I think the only thing to close out that train of thought is that what I've noticed is that there is this belief that if I am successful in these other areas of my life, money is just going to fix itself. Mm. And the truth is that money is its own area of work. It's got its own stuff. So it's, again, like if I grew up from a broken family and my parents left at a very young age, so there was abandonment. So I carried a lot of those abandonment issues for a long time, and that affected my personal relationships because I was still running those fears and those stories. And so cleaning that up, I'm actually now in a really great marriage and great relationship, but I had to do my own cleanup for that to ever be possible. But cleaning that up there doesn't mean that was going to transfer over to money and so on and so forth. But it's just to know that our money trauma affects this, how money affects the rest of our life. So just fixing these other areas doesn't mean it's going to fix the money piece going all the way back to the beginning. So I just encourage anyone to listening to maybe just take a moment and think about money and think about the relationship and write a few things down and maybe make a commitment or an intention that, you know, I want to spend some time on this money thing.
Yeah, just like a date. Set yourself up with a money date once a week, once a month, whatever feels comfortable. You could do it once a day. I have a money date with myself where once a week I reconcile all of my assets and everything, assets, liabilities, etc. And you sit down and you do it. Years ago, somebody taught me to do that and to create a money journal where you look at every year of your life and then you make notes about did things happen, you know, to you at a certain period of your life, or did somebody tell you something? And then once you begin to write them down and you identify them, then slowly but surely you can begin to transmute and transform them into this beautiful romantic love affair with money, right?
I love it. That's perfect. Yes.
Oh, beautiful. Christina, well, where can people find your podcast, Wealthy Wealthy? Where can they find out about you and the company? Where would they go to do so?
I'd invite anybody, if they would like to, that I have a free copy of my book called Falling for Money, a romance novel for your bank account. So you're right there in line with me. And it's a free digital copy. It's just a great place to get started. It has some of the exercises that we just talked about, and it's a very quick read. So fallingformoney.com is where you can go. Otherwise, my podcast, and Google my name. It's easy to follow on my different channels. But if you want to start listening on Money Conversations, that would be the podcast. If you want a quick read, it's fallingformoney.com.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Christina. So grateful that we were brought together and that you were able to share your deep wisdom. I feel honored to know you, and that it's just such a privilege to hear your story and to be able to share it with our listeners and viewers. So thank you. And to each of you out there, hopefully there was some gem. Maybe you got 5 cents, $5, $5 million worth of value out of what Christina shared today. Whatever it is, you get to be the one who says where you get your value. even if you need to go back and re-listen to this again, listen to it with intent and make the commitment that you will get a transformational perspective out of listening to this or out of something you heard us share today. So thank you for being with us. Wishing you continued prosperity, miracles, and magic in your life. I am Jennifer Cahill, and thank you for being with us.